Welcome, everybody, to a special edition of Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, powered by Gerwick.net, pro wrestling between the sheets. Over the years I've done these interviews, there have been three times that I have been humbled by people that have sat with me. One was when the late American Dream Dusty Rhodes did this, not as the radio show, but as a paper interview, and also when the late Rowdy Piper sat and did an interview with me. And now I'm humbled again because the co-founder of TNA Wrestling, the founder of Global Force Wrestling, and someone who I consider a personal hero because I got to see him build TNA Wrestling from the ground up. I was there day one in Huntsville, Alabama, and was there when things got dark, and love every minute of the fact that Jeff Jarrett is finally sitting with me for an interview, and I couldn't be happier for you to be here with me.
Well, Alan, you got a little sappy on me there, but yeah, you need a minute for me. And you're a lifer, so I appreciate all the support over the years, and looking forward to, I'll tell a little funny story to the listeners out there. I was late. I had to push this interview back a couple of minutes. And Alan's great quote was, "Headed 14 to
so." The funny part, I've got a couple great questions I want to ask, but the funniest part is when I told somebody, they said, "Well, how old do you know Jeff?" And I said, "Well, let's put it this way. Flash to 2005. We're in a TGI Fridays across from the Orlando Ale House and Universal. I'm interviewing Andy Douglas and Chase Stevens, the Naturals. Your dad's sitting across from me. And you come walking up and is like, 'Hey, guys, what are you doing? Great. Can I slide in here?' I go, 'Why?' And you're like, 'I'm hiding from Lex Luger.' And I'm like, 'Pardon me?' And he's like, 'Just hide me.' And I'm like, 'What?' So, yeah, I have an I'm an accomplice to hiding you from Lex Luger of all the people in the world. I got to watch King of the Mountain, the DVD. I watch it at least once a year since it's been out. And with Global Force Wrestling and with TNA, the way it was founded and everything, what is one or two lessons that you learned from your grandmother, Christine, and your dad, who had both been promoters? Your grandmother had worked for the Gulas office, and then your dad was with Gulas and then went off on his own. What are a couple things that you learned from them that you use to this day with Global Force?
Oh, wow. There's several things. It's really about building the foundation, and that is something that, you know, the Gulas Welch, you know, going way, way back, and all the territories, they really had that. They built a real core fan base, and putting out a very consistent on all of them, whether in ring effort, whether party effort, whatever type of business it is, you have to put out consistent hard work effort. I obviously use that, and then, you know, over the years, it's a lesson that I've learned, and I've looked back and studied different things with territories, and then, you know, we got to the 90s and the cable wars, and how different things, whether it's a storyline, whether it's a wrestler, whether it's television show, whatever it is, you really have to you can't rush a product to market. I think anything to market, but the audience has to be clearly defined on who, what, when, where, why, what it's about. Like I said, whether it's a wrestling or a TV show or whatever it is. And we finished in 2016 with so many different methods of consuming our wrestling, whether you want to import entry or be able to consume, that we continue to be very, very aware of the step-by-step process. You know, we literally named the company in 2014 and methodically put together the relationships that made sense. New Japan, AAA, a different promotion, South Africa, Europe, Australia, Japan, all of that. And then, you know, we cut the deal to go to the Orleans and Vegas and our Grand Slam shows. And then this year, as we're doing our co-branded shows, some baseball, still some Grand Slam shows, some fair dates. It's really a step-by-step process that I look back and then look at the successes that my grandmother had, whether she's running a farmery or a high school gym, just something that small. You get in the town, you get in the market, you make sure you have the proper advertising, make sure you have the proper cards, spread the word. Everything just takes time to do it right.
You mentioned cross-promoting with shows. You guys were part of the Wrestle Kingdom 9 event, and you're going to be going overseas in the coming weeks for events in the United Kingdom, actually the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, and then you're going to be a part of the WrestleCon event around WrestleMania. When will United States fans see Global Force Wrestling on TV, or is it going to be on the Global Force website? What's the future hold TV-wise?
That, all of the above is where to answer your question. But we're going to be releasing, and I've done some PR interviews here recently talking about that. We're dotting I's and crossing the T's. I thought the news would already be out, but we're going to be making I don't want to get too over the top here and call it a game changer, because that can take a life of its own. But we're going to be making a real special announcement in the coming, if not this week, next week for sure, I feel. And that will help answer a lot of questions. Again, I go back to the step-by-step process that, not just here in the U.S., but lining up the global launch obviously has been a challenge. Like you just said, I go over to the U.K. Next week for our shows in Exeter and Coventry and our first London event. But I've got meetings in London with broadcasters literally from around the world. And so, again, it has been a challenge, but, when we do this, first, I'm a big believer, and my grandmother and my dad will say this many, many times, first impression, last impression. And so that's something that my short answer is stay tuned, Alan, because the answer is coming. 2016 is going to be a big year for us.
I hope so. I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up some TNA questions as well. You and I had mentioned we'd been somewhat friends since 2002, and I was there for the times when all of a sudden it was like, okay, what do you mean Hell South's gone? What do you mean, okay, what do we do here? If you don't have Trifecta Entertainment doing your PR and Dixie Carter being there and the stars aligning, does TNA Wrestling even make it through 2002? Did you have backup plans between you, your dad, Bob Ryder, and other people? Were there backup plans in place to try to keep it alive?
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. Without question. I mean, all of that happened, and I'll just leave it at that, because obviously there's a lot of moving parts that went into that with financing. But the Hell South situation, obviously, it was an enormous, story. Not forget the wrestling side of it, just the Hell South and the what came out of it, and the government regulation and all of it down. And it literally went down in a matter of 72 hours, 48, 72 hours. But the minute it went down, I can assure you every waking moment we were talking to many. If I told you some of the people that we were actually talking to, you'd say, oh, that's been interesting. But no, we were definitely talking to numerous people.
My wife, when I was doing research for this interview, we watched WWE Network, and she said, you've got to ask him this question. I was like, okay, no, miss, I can't ask him. Okay. So you go to WWE, and she was watching the King of the Mountain DVD with me as well. Who the heck came up with some of those early wrestling outfits that you had on? Because you're a great talent in the ring, Jeff, but when I looked at some of those outfits, I was going, I think he just did what the office asked him to do, honey. I don't know. Well, I'll ask him.
To each his own. I'll take the, some people loved them, some people, to this day, matter of fact, Saturday night, I was in Hazleton, Pennsylvania, and the doc up there, and he came up to me, and he was the doc through the years of the WWF and everything. And to this day, every time I see him, he wants one of those outfits. And so there was another group of guys that was sitting there hearing our conversation. They walk over, and he pulled out on his phone, Googled it and all that, showed the different outfits. And then this other guy said, yeah, that was my favorite. So the fact that we're still talking about these outfits, what's the old P.T. Barnum? They love you or hate you as long as you're in the news talking about you. So I guess the outfits didn't quite ring a bell with you, Alan, but that's okay.
No, it was my wife. It was my wife that just sat there. She was watching you and Scott Hall for the IC title, and she was just going, I don't get it. It was like, it was a different time, honey. It was a different era. The 90s were different for wrestling. We had Jimmy Corderas, who's a friend of the show, on and has refereed for several years, and we talked about your partnership with Owen Hart and the DVD that had come out, and he told great stories of being the referee with you two as a tag team against Edge and Christian, making him nearly pee his pants laughing. Have you sat and actually watched the Owen Hart DVD, or is it too difficult for you to do all these years later?
No, I have not watched it, and, you know, don't judge that anywhere. You know, I'm married with five kids, and got a lot of things with promotion stuff going on, and so I make it a point. I do watch as much wrestling as I possibly can, whether it's Lucha Underground or TNA or Ring of Honor, Raw, SmackDown, NXT. You know, just I'm immersed in the business just because, A, I'm a fan, and B, it's what I do. And I think I make it a point to, you know, stay on top as much as humanly possible on what's going on in the industry.
How soon after the business split from TNA Wrestling was Global Force founded? Was it something you had always had in mind, or what, take fans through that process in as short a time as you possibly can?
Well, you know, all I'll really say about that is not to read too much into it. I knew that at the end of 2013, my time, that chapter of my life of TNA Wrestling needed to come to an end. And so I resigned and moved on with my life, and you know, I certainly wasn't going to go into banking or finance or lawyer or the restaurant business. What I do in my family's done for over 70 years is the wrestling business. So I sat back and sort of landscaped and really took a hard look at many different facets of the business. And in my head, things started falling into place. And, you know, you say, you know, one thing after another, get the trademarks in place, and you're off and running. And the name of the company, you know, literally just named, but it was, again, I'll go back a step-by-step process, and was, you know, in 2002 when you, TNA, the internet obviously was blowing and going, but nothing like, you know, social media didn't really exist, especially how it is today, that people, they want to be involved in things as much as possible. So I looked at it and said, okay, Twitter, Instagram, our website, we're going to bring people on this journey. And, you know, Kevin Sullivan did some videos specifically about it. Because it is, and it's something that, you know, I've got more passion for professional wrestling than I ever have. You know, early this morning I had a call with a guy from London lining up the meeting that I just referenced earlier, and I cannot wait to get in that room and discuss the possibilities and the different things that we have going on, because it's exciting. It really is.
I have Kevin Sullivan to thank for you even being on the phone with me right now. And I got to know him through his time in TNA Wrestling as part of production, and people are also aware of his history with WWE. What does he bring to the production team that fans may not be aware, that aren't in the know like you and I are about Kevin? Because he's very, very creative with some of the stuff that's gone on in the last year or two.
He's the best. Because he... And you know, both of us are huge wrestling fans, and I think that's an enormous advantage because we have a passion for it. But he tells his story, you know, whether he's editing a character profile or post-match comments or whatever it may be. He really tells the story and produces and creates things through the eyes of a wrestling fan. And I think that's a unique skill set that quite frankly sets him apart from all the rest because of his passion, you know, and he doesn't, and when I say he's got a passion for wrestling, he's also got a passion for TV. So whether it's the NFL or UFC or you know, House of Cards, whatever is being out there on all these distribution outlets, not just cable and broadcast, but Netflix, Hulu, just everything, he immerses himself in that. And obviously, that's where the sum total of all of our parts. So that's what happens when you dive into a project and you take a little bit from here and a little bit from there, and then the stuff he does is just awesome.
When you look at the Global Force Wrestling roster, Magnus is your current champion. The Bollywood Boys are there. You've got such a diverse roster. How did you go about choosing it? Was it going and doing seminars across the country, you going and doing independent events, or for fans that aren't aware, and even current wrestlers that maybe sit and listen to this going, hey, I want to work for Jeff Jarrett, what do I need to do? What are some of the qualities you were looking for?
It's all the above. It is what, you know, how did it come together? It was seminars, it was me going to independent shows. The great thing, and I tell these guys in the seminars, you know, me, when I broke in, you maybe can trade tapes, but you had to see wrestling live to really watch it. Now, with YouTube, the WWE Network, you can watch wrestling 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from now till next year. You can. And so then you can really, really scout. From my position as a promoter, guys send me links, they send me matches, they send me promos. But then I can also go on different websites and just literally scout talent, because, you know, word travels and there's people all over the country that I got relationships, and they know to pick up the phone or text me and say, hey, take a look at this guy. And I'll say, make it easy for me, send me a link. And they do. And there, the talent base is so deep today in professional wrestling. And I know some people would say, well, I'm not sure I agree with that. Well, I as a promoter, guys need a platform, they need producing, they need crafting, they need helping, they need coaching. Just like, you know, from high school athletes to going to college, they may be a great athlete, but they have to be coached up to step on a college field. And then the same transition. You can be a great college player, but when you get to the pros, it's a different level, it's a different speed, there's different things. But you got to have the coaches in place to coach them up. That's how the professional wrestling business is no different.
I've got to have the fortunate chance of meeting your three daughters when they were younger, and now that they are older, and obviously they all know what dad does for a living, could there be a fourth generation Jarrett in the wrestling business, either behind the scenes, promoting, or even getting in the business, or do the girls not want to do what dad does?
My oldest is 19. She'll be in college next year. And, you know, she's always had a like, and we're going to find out, for production, for video production, audio, all that. So we'll see. I'm certainly not going to let them, all of them, make their own decisions on what career path they take. I would love it. But you know, it, again, I'll say this, like I was talking about me and Sully. You got to have a passion. Or it passes you back immediately.
A lot of people back in 02, as you said on the King of the Mountain DVD that I just actually watched over with breakfast, sat there and scoffed and said, this promotion's not going to be around a long time, and TNA is sitting here soon to be celebrating its 14th anniversary. A lot of folks did the same thing when you and Karen announced this venture. A lot of egg on a lot of people's faces, because you're running shows, and as you said, you're making international deals. Are you surprised that everything has gone as well as it has, or do you just have that much business confidence these days that it was destined to be?
Well, what's the old Thomas Edison? I some kind of quote that I love quotes, but it's like you fail 99 times, all that does is prepare you to invent on the 100th try. And so it's a consistent sun up, sun down, and even some midnight oil. But, you know, we get up, we strategize, and we continue to push through. And that's just my work ethic. That's how I was raised. That's what's in me. And you know, I'm blessed to have the experience that I do have because, you know, looking at things and the promoter that came to me, gosh, it was over a year. No, about last May, me or April said, hey, I know you're doing your tapings in Vegas and you're just getting this thing off the ground and you got your baseball shows, why don't you bring your product to the United Kingdom? And I said, that may be a little premature. And as we talked back and forth, it started to make a little bit more sense. And then we went over there, and we're going to, quite frankly, we're going to towns that WWE will not go to. They're the smaller market, but they have a thirst for wrestling, great venues. And so we went over there and had two great shows at the end of October. And before I got on the plane to come back home, he was saying, do you have my blessing? I'm going to go full force. We're going to run shows. And I said, all right, what's the timing? And so, you know, looked at the tours and everything. So here we are, first week of March. We're going back over. And we've got different promoters in Australia and New Zealand talking to us, in India and South Africa. And there's a couple of bars in France. So we're diving in, and we've got shows lined up, and we're going to Germany in April, and then North Carolina, Maryland, where else are we going? Virginia, New Jersey, Pennsylvania. We've got shows lining up, and we make these announcements, and it's creating the right partnership and getting in there and delivering a great product.
Before I let you go, I want to bring up for fans that they're getting to experience the Asylum years on YouTube right now, but my personal favorite Jeff Jarrett moment is one that involved my favorite tag team. You know, they're no longer together, and that would be America's Most Wanted. And fans of Impact Wrestling, if I mention the phrase the Team 3D Funeral, usually they'll get either they'll start laughing or they'll go, that was the moment that I really, really, really began to hate Jeff Jarrett and his partnership with America's Most Wanted. I've talked to James and Chris about that, and they said that that's quite possibly their favorite moment of all time doing vignettes with TNA Wrestling. Do you have any memories of that day? Especially James getting his hand locked in the casket comes to mind.
Well, the different times and different eras, and the timing of that was very well. I can't say perfect, but just all of that came together. But what I remember that I guess the first thing that comes to my mind is Eric Wrestler. I've always been an enormous fan of his in-ring ability, and he's got such a unique skill set and personality, and how he can take so many different directions. He's just very, very good. But he did some things that day that were seen to people. And it was his innate ability to do comedy without trying to do comedy. And good comedy in wrestling, done in small doses, is the reason you're still talking about it right now. It's because A&W played their role right. Team Canada played their role right. All of it really fell into place, and it was good TV, and it served its purpose, and it got Bubba and Devon upset, and at the end of the day, that's what it's about. And then Bubba got in there and probably chopped the living crap out of him and gave him a little respite. So there you have it.
Europe, get ready, March 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. Exeter, London, and Coventry. If you're going to WrestleMania weekend, you need to stop at the WrestleCon events on April 1st and 2nd. You get to see Jeff there. Karen will be there. A lot of the Global Force Wrestling folks are there. And then April 8th, Clarksville, Tennessee is another great live event. Thank you so much for being here. Give me one second.